This talk is offered by Ordinary Mind Zendo. Ordinary Mind was founded by Barry Magid, Dharma heir of Charlotte Joko Beck, and is dedicated to her vision of a psychologically minded Zen practice adapted to the needs of American students practicing in the context of their everyday lives. Our public programs are made possible by donations from people like you.
From Dharma? No. I missed it already. From drama to Dharma. Joko said, if our practice is about all of our life, and my life is about Zazen, then I'd like to paint for you a few sketches of some of my Zazen life. I asked my mother about 30 years ago, what was I like when I was a little girl? And she said, you were active. You walked at 10 months, you climbed out of your crib. One day, she tells the story, I put on a little coat and I said, goodbye, Mrs. Jones. And she said, goodbye, Mrs. Smith. She thought I was pretending. And a little bit later, she got a telephone call from the owner of a market across the highway and down two blocks. And he said, your little girl's here in her diaper. She also said, and I remember, why can't you be more easy like your sister? Easier like your sister. Well, I'll give you a little context. I'm number 307. So Kelly and Tim were above me. And then when I was 3, Bridget was 2. That's not right. When I was 2, Bridget was 1, and Michaela was just a newborn. And then Brian. And then about 5 years later, they said at the dinner table, we're going to adopt number 7. So we all had a great conversation about what we wanted. I said, well, I want a big sister. I was the oldest girl. Mom said, absolutely not. Not until necessary, teenagers. My little sister said, I want a newborn. I love babies. Mom said, now somebody's got to be out of diapers. Well, about 9 months later, we had a 22-month-old Lakota Sioux little boy join our family, Jimmy. I grew up pretty much in the Wild West, literally. I grew up in a flyover country, South Dakota, in the mountains. You know, you have to take a connection. There's no direct flights. There's real live cowboys and Indians. My dad was a businessman, and when he would fly to New York, he'd wear his Stetson and his cowboy boots. It's full of cattle ranches and wheat fields. The weather's pretty extreme. I woke up one Friday the 13th, June 13th, with a foot of snow on the branches, hanging way down. My great-great-grandparents came from Ireland through Nova Scotia, and they landed, well, my parents, my father and mother, came to South Dakota during the gold rush, and they homesteaded there. And when my dad had such good memories, he wanted to buy a piece of property on his own. That piece of property was overtaken or taken back by the government. We couldn't find any gold or silver on the property. We tried even. They bought a lodge, and this was perfect for my mother because she was Mrs. Clean. And he liked to be handy, so he would do all the yard work and he would keep the place maintained. And they had all these kids, right, that could work, you know, doing laundry and cleaning cabins and everything like that. And I got tired about 16, and my dad said, would you like to go to South America and live with 2 nuns? I said, okay. I had a blast. I only stayed June, July, and August, but I came home bilingual. One was a heavy set, what was she, a principal? Yes, and she was terrified of the water bugs, you know, the big bugs. And she would jump up on a chair. And then there was a teeny tiny skinny one. She was a nurse. And she would get the broom and go, quack, quack, quack. So I couldn't wait at 18 to leave Rapid City. I had seen a taste of the larger world, right? And I wanted to go cosmopolitan. I wanted to go to a big city. I wanted, I don't know, you know, experience, you know, to see the world. But I didn't have a lot of guidance. The parents, I don't know, maybe they're busy cleaning cabins or I don't know, you know, doing carpentry or plumbing or electrical work or something. But it was my drama coach that told me to go to the University of Portland. It was the wrong school. But anyway, all that doesn't matter because I got pregnant. So this is the part of the story that I've always been afraid to tell. I'm so Catholic, and my family was so Catholic. I used to be so Catholic. All these black robes around here this weekend make me think of my childhood and all the hoopla in the cathedral with the bishop and the archbishop and all the robes flowing and the incense and everything. We all went to Catholic grade school, and all of our picture books are full of the sacraments, right? First Holy Communion, baptism. I don't think you take pictures at confirmation, not a confession. Then there's holy orders, holy matrimony, and last rites, right? So I still reflexively say a Hail Mary every time I hear a siren. If I lived in New York, I'd be praying the whole day and time. So back to the pregnancy. I didn't think an abortion was an option for me at that time in my life at 19. So I had a baby and I gave her for adoption, and she was adopted at 3 days old. And I thought I'd get back on with my life. I went through a really rough period. I was like, very unhappy. I switched colleges. I barely graduated in my major, Spanish. So I went back to school and got another degree in psychology counseling. And I still was just lost. I was just meeting, you know, I should say losers. I guess that's what they all were. And my friend said, can I introduce you to this guy named Joseph? And that was a bright spot. And I decided on our first date that I was going to marry this fella. Pretty impetuous, right? Yeah. So, but it's been great. We worked hard on the marriage. We had a girl right away. And there was something about that moment when the attending nurse placed that baby on my chest and our eyes met. And it was just a communion. It was just a pure... And I read, somewhere in here, I have a quote. Robert Aiken, he writes in The Mind of Clover, in ancient Chinese Buddhist texts, intimacy is a synonym for kensho. Another thing I wanted to quote, it's from Joko. Disappointment is the best chariot to use on the path to the Dharma. My life just wasn't working out like I planned. Does that sound like Joko? Like it's supposed to be. So the kids are growing, but we're still kind of dramatic in our family too, because my husband and I guess are both restless. We moved every 3 years. Don't ask me why, but it seems to be a pattern of every 3 years. And we went to 6 different states across the country, 6 different moves. Well, eventually the kids, they left for college, and the day they both left, on the same day in 2006, I was diagnosed with an immune disorder. Well, finally, I think it was a wake-up call. I began to focus on my body, connecting to my body. Here's another quote, and I didn't source it. The most important thing is the innate intelligence that lives in the body. this helped a lot. You know, all these, I was doing Rubenfeld Synergy. I was doing psychodrama, Feldenkrais, Alexander Make Method, Reiki, Enneagram, lots of yoga, right? Lots of yoga. I was probably just distracting myself. About 3 years ago, I was in a freaky accident and my knees both got damaged and I quit sitting on the floor. But I love to think of myself as doing those bows that I couldn't do this morning, you know, just. But this is my life the way it is. So during the COVID, the yoga teacher started a spiritual classics book study. And that was really exciting for me. We studied the Yoga Sutras, the Bhagavad Gita, the Dhammapada, the Tao Te Ching, some Christian mystics. I did a Vipassana several years back, and I did get a taste of equanimity. Somewhere along the way, too, I was in a class with a lay Buddhist. And there was something about her manner, her speech, her calmness. I said to myself, I want that. So how did I get here? You might want to know. Well, all of my life brought me here, but let me tell you how I got to OMZ. I actually stumbled into it. A friend of mine said, do you want to go to this meditation class offered by my friend? Her name is Barbara Haynes. I said, sure. I like to say yes. I say yes a lot. And I liked it. We sat Zazen 2 periods and did some Kenin. And then that was only once a month. She upped it to twice a month. And then we were doing a little bit of teaching. And I was interested in the Dharma. You gave me a few lessons, Chris. And you went on vacation and you were looking for a volunteer. And I said, yes. And I said, Dei Osho, 87 times. And Barry was great on liturgy. He just turned on his mic and said, it's Dei Osho. Thank you. You know, everything that's happened to me here in OMZ, it's like, oh, that one's so bad. Let's keep going. You know, let's try it again. So I was sitting in on the Saturday Zooms and the discussions. And then I was doing some first Saturdays. And then I did some Dokusan. And then you had an introspection salon, which I loved. Let's do that some more. Okay. Thanks. And then Moira over here said, Mary, why don't you join us in the mornings when we sit? I said, okay. And that's been a real blessing. And then Heather's class on No Step, the No Step meeting that meets on Fridays at 11:30. I don't want to miss that every week. And what else? Oh, about mid-year, I was trying to get serious about this. I was in the precepts class with Hope. And I thought, should I? Shouldn't I take Jukai? And Chris said, well, anybody who wants to come and practice or do residency, think about it, you know, a week or two in New York. And I said, I got to go. But I got diagnosed with lymphoma and some of the treatment kind of did some weird things to my body. So as Parnell knows, we tried to get up there a couple times, but sometimes I couldn't walk. So anyway, it's complicated. But maybe in the future, I'm still holding out hope. And Fran, I would love to be in your sickness, old age, and dying. It's about time for that one, don't you think? Barry asked me yesterday what I thought Jukai meant for me. I answered just kind of off the top of my head, and I said, it's a beginning. It's a beginning for me, and that's true. I'm a beginner, definitely. Yeah. But I also thought about it again, and it means I'm determined. Oh, and I'm enjoying the council meetings as well. So there's so much to offer. So keep offering things, and I'll keep saying yes. Okay. Barry, if you ever want a cheerleader for Ordinary Mind Zendo, I could do it for you. Because I was sitting here after Moira's talk, and this is what came through my head. I'm a devotee for OMZ. I think you can see my enthusiasm for this process. there's something inside of me that's growing, emerging, expanding. I don't really understand it entirely, but it's actually making me high, okay? And I know we can talk about that. No. I think it's about time I got to know myself. It's about time I started practicing some self-acceptance better, more. I'm finally letting my mother off the hook. I do know that I am and I have Buddha nature, and you guys are all helping me. The sesshins help and Zazen helps. You help teach me, and the practice precepts, I like thinking about them. I also tried to tell, this thing sticks in my head and it goes, I like to do good because good feels good to do. For me, that's true. Every one of us is interconnected. Everything is interconnected. And I love that when I realize that. I love how Joko also says, only life happening here. I am practicing abiding with what is. My husband has had, I think I counted up, 9 surgeries in our 37 years of marriage. And he's about to have his 3rd on his back. And in the past, I would always feel bored and, oh, woe is me, caregiving. Blah. But not this time. It's like one foot in front of the other. You know, I'm ready and I'm relaxed about it. So, and when I say to myself, leave everything alone, it fills me with a sense of freedom. It fills me with elation. Leave everything alone. It's like, woohoo, let's go enjoy. If practice is supposed to help me see, feel, and experience life differently, I think it's happening. I'll end with a quote. It was, you may have all read it this week, Tricycle Magazine or Tricycle Community posted it in the Daily Dharma. It's from Kuan Yamada, great faith, great doubt, great determination. No matter how high the mountains of the great Dharma are, no matter how deep the sea of ignorance is, they will be as nothing before a boundless spirit of determination.